Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the show. Today, I am delighted to introduce you to my friend and fellow entrepreneur, Colin Arthur Weeb. Colin is a singer, songwriter, author, speaker, entertainer, and is the founder and CEO of FastCreative.com. Colin also has an absolutely fascinating personal history. His passion is music as well as marketing and design, and if you think about it, those all work really well together. He records with and tours the world with legendary classic rock icon, Randy, and you're going to have to tell me, Colin, am I pronouncing this correctly? Is it Randy Bachman or Randy Bachman?
Well, Randy likes to introduce himself as, "Hi, I'm Randy Bachman from Bachman Turner Overdrive." So both work.
Okay, that's what I thought. So he tours with Randy Bachman of Bachman Turner Overdrive and of the Guess Who, and has done so for over 17 years now. Colin has 4 nationally released CDs and is a past winner of the American Song Festival. He is also the founder and the CEO of FastCreative.com, which I mentioned earlier, which is a visionary company that is experienced in traditional media that also brings an added dimension of interactive web, email, rich media, and new technologies to deliver high-performance marketing. Fast Creative, this is impressive, y'all. Listen to this. Fast Creative took its first client from $0 in revenue to $6 million in sales in less than a year. I call that impressive. So, Colin, good morning, and welcome to the show, and I'm so glad you're here.
I'm so glad I'm here, too. Thank you so much for having me, and I really appreciate that glowing intro.
Well, you know, I love what you do. I follow you around and listen to your music and, you know, just generally pay attention to what you're up to. So I know a good bit about how you got from there to here and back and forth. I know you still are very much a musician. But can you give us a brief history of your life from, let's say, rock and roll star to online entrepreneur and back again?
Well, let's start before the rock star part. When I got out of high school, all I wanted to do was play music. And one of the cool things that I did in the early days was I jumped in my van, and I moved away from my hometown, which was Victoria, B.C., and I drove to Vancouver, and I joined a band. And I literally slept out of the back of my truck and moved from gig to gig and just started playing music for people and became quite successful in the bar scene at it. Well, one of the byproducts of the bar scene is always the nightlife and the bad stuff that goes with it. And I got caught up in that in the early 80s, just like a lot of my friends did, and pretty soon found myself traveling further and further around on the road in Canada to smaller places and week after week, night after night, in smoky bars and late nights and a whole barrage of the whole sex, drugs, and rock and roll lifestyle. And very little creativity. And probably in the mid-80s, I was at a point in my life where everything was falling apart. I had had a little taste of success with an A&M recording artist, and we'd gone on tour, and we were excited about that, and then I got fired from the band. And it was no fault of my own. It was actually a downsizing. There were 2 keyboard players in the band, and tour support was getting expensive, and someone had to go. And so even though I sang most of the background vocals in the band, the other keyboard player in the band had all the technology and ran a lot of the those times samples and backing tracks, and This was in the 80s, if you remember. It was very electronic-style music in those. And so basically what happened is I found myself probably at the lowest point of my life. I had a girlfriend who was a drug dealer, and I was just wrapped up with a horrible bunch of people. And I finally had to make a decision that I had to change. My life had to change in some way. And it was at that point where I really took a hard look at where I was at and what I wanted to do. And I reached out, looked for some mentors, looked for some books. And the first thing I put my hands on, believe it or not, was Anthony Robbins' Personal Power. And I devoured that. I would get up early in the morning and read each page slowly, and till such point as I started to develop a bit of a plan for myself to try and get things back on track. I didn't know how I was going to do it. I prayed about it. I did all the things that you could possibly do as a, you know, early 20s kind of guy trying to fish his way through life. And as life would take different turns, I finally made a decision to do something completely different with my life. And I had also been a bit of an artist. So a bar manager at one of the clubs that I played at all the time was a graphic artist at the major newspaper. And he had asked me to come and do some temporary relief work in the summer. And it paid pretty good, and I was always drawn cartoons as a kid, and I loved to draw. So I went and I got a job, summer temporary job at the newspaper. And I remember the day my first cartoon was published in the newspaper, I bought 20 copies. I went to 7-Eleven first thing in the morning when the newspaper came out, and I bought this big stack of papers. And I remember phoning my mom and saying, "Mom, I'm in the paper. My cartoon's in the paper." And so I ended up getting a cartoon column that ran every Friday, and it became work. And one of the cool things that happened in the mid-80s at the newspaper is they brought an Apple computer and put it on the desk. And everyone in the newsroom looked at this like it was an alien from outer space. And because I had made music using an Atari ST computer, and I had digital keyboards like the old Yamaha DX7, I'd learned to program keyboards and synthesizers and things like that. So when I saw this computer on the desk, everyone kind of looked at it like it was the plague. I looked at it and said, "I'll try that. I'll use that thing." And it wasn't too long before I started to learn some programs that they brought. One of the first ones was called Photoshop, and it was the very first release. And another one called Adobe 88, which is now Illustrator. For those people that do graphic programs, you'll have to think way back. And the first release of Illustrator was called Adobe 88. And that was the tool that we used to make the infographics and the maps at the newspaper. So fast forward a few years, I ended up becoming the leader of the department. I ended up becoming the promotional director, and later on the creative director of advertising. I had a staff of about 13 artists, about 32 ad builders, and I started to begin a new life and a new career as a creative director of advertising in a newspaper. I was still playing a bit of music on the side and still enjoying writing songs and creating little demos in my own home studio, but that's about as far as it went. I started to manage large advertising campaigns for some major corporations, including many of the large car companies and retailers and department stores. And my job was to work with them and create campaigns that they would use in their advertising efforts. And some of those campaigns would dovetail with radio, with television, and of course newspaper spreads, newspaper advertorials, and a host of different direct mail and basically assaults on consumers selling different products and services. So am I getting too detailed for you, Denise?
No, not at all, because this leads into the questions that I'm going to be asking you in a little bit. So this gives people a very fair idea of why, when I do start asking questions about advertise to yourself, they're going to understand how it came about.
Okay, great. Well, during that time, I was kind of the top dog at the newspaper, and we were having a lot of success with a lot of the campaigns that we were running. But I wasn't happy. I felt that my music was being stifled. I was commuting to work an hour in the morning, and then sometimes I would stay till after dark and not get home till late into the evening. And by that time, I'd gotten married, and I had two small children, and they were toddlers at the time. And so I was barely getting any chance to spend with them. So I found myself under a lot of pressure, and I would commute in these long lineups of traffic, and it was just driving me nuts. And pretty soon the work became mundane. I wasn't drawing. I wasn't creating. I was really at the beck and call of many of these advertisers, and I was learning all of these persuasive tricks and how to trick consumers into buying their products and how to use special forms of copywriting and how to use subliminal messages and images and how to do things to really transform the minds of the consumers to buy these products, some of them which were products I wouldn't endorse to anyone. And yet I was spending a great deal of my time and energy creating campaigns to sell some of this undesirable materials to people. So another byproduct of the newspaper business was a lot of time spent at the press club, and there was a lot of drinking that was going on in those days, and a lot of parties and things of that nature. And I just felt myself getting overweight and staying up late and spending time with the people that I really didn't care to be spending time with. And once again, I came across this crossroads in my life where I had to take a step back and look at how can I get to the place where I want to go? How can I spend more time doing my music? How can I spend more time with my family? How can I possibly work from home? I mean, I had a great job. I was getting paid highest key rate. I had an elevator directly to Starbucks. I had a staff that would do whatever I asked them to do. I had an office looking over the beautiful Pan Pacific in Vancouver. If you've ever been in that gas town area, you'll know what I mean. And basically, if you were to look at me from the outside, you would say, hey, this guy has everything. You know, I drove a beautiful car, and we had a beautiful home, and everything was going perfectly on the outside. But on the inside, it was just not happening. I was not feeling that I was on purpose. I was not feeling fulfilled, and I just knew that I had to make some kind of a change. I often went over to a hotel across the street, a big fancy, it was called the Waterfront Center. It was one of the, it was kind of like a Westin that you might be familiar with. Or
one of the IW or something?
Yeah, it's actually a Fairmont in Canada.
Oh, okay.
But I would go in the lobby, and I would go into the coffee shop there, and I would take some of my books, and I would take my sketch pad and my legal pad, and I just started kind of dreaming out loud, and I said, you know, if I could design the perfect life, what would that look like? And I spent some time doing that, and as I was doing it, I started to realize that I was in fact doing something similar that I did every day with my clients and with my advertisers. And I thought, wait a minute, maybe I can engineer a campaign the same way that I do for my advertising clients and use it on myself. I thought, well, wow, I could be the target market. I could set up a campaign. I could create some of these messages to maybe try and affect my subconscious. And maybe, who knows, this might work. So the first little mini campaign that I ran, and I actually did it sort of by accident, was I wanted to quit smoking. And if anybody out there has ever tried to quit smoking, you know that's no easy feat. And being a rock musician and playing in bars, that was a natural thing. I don't know if I had any friends at the time that didn't smoke. So it was a very difficult thing, habit to break. But I had I developed a system, and I followed it, and it worked. And when I looked back on it, I went, wow, what did I do? I reverse engineered my entire advertising campaign strategies, and I used it to run this mini campaign on motivating myself to quit smoking, and I did it. And I felt an incredible elation, and the endorphins were high, and I thought, you know what, if I try some other things, maybe this will work. So I had another challenge. There was a house that came up for sale, and I needed an extra $10,000 cash, but I needed it in under 30 days in order to make this deal happen. I thought, you know what, I'm going to run this mini campaign the same way that I did for quit smoking, and I'm going to test this and see if I can raise or find this $10,000 in a month. And in those days, that was a lot of money. I mean, it's a lot of money today, but when you're struggling with a small family and whatnot, and pretty much your entire paycheck is used up to pay bills, $10,000 extra, especially in that short time frame, seems an impossibility. Well, I put together one of these mini campaigns, and I did the very same process. And I'll tell you, after 29 days, I tallied up the money that I had found or created out of nowhere, and it was $11,500. I actually had an extra $1,500 on top of it, and we used that to celebrate and to reward ourselves with a special dinner and a night out.
And see, that makes perfect sense to me.
So
once you break that barrier and understand what you can do, you should celebrate it.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's a critical factor. And so from that moment, I started to look at this objectively, and I began to run some of these mini campaigns. And I know I'd heard things before about people creating vision boards and putting all their dream pictures on their fridge and things like that, and that never really worked for me. And one of the reasons is because your subconscious will never believe it. They won't believe it because it's too overwhelming. There's too many things in competition. You know, if you have a boat and a mansion and all these different things posted up where you can see them, they will just confuse you. At least they did for me. I found the best way is to really target and get really clear on what it is that I wanted to accomplish, and then use these special steps in a special sequence that I developed in the advertising department, and then initiate the campaign and take some action. And I have found that in almost every area of my life, pretty much, I've been able to run these campaigns and just create the life that basically that I've always wanted. And everyone has a different definition of success. And I'd like to come back to that question, but I want to get to the rock star part, because that was pretty significant. I was in a situation where I had just finished the quit smoking thing, and I was really excited about recording an album. And one of the things that we do in the advertising department is we put together what's called a mock-up. And in the Advertise to Yourself program, I call them prototypes and or mock-ups, but prototypes is probably one of the best ways to put it. I actually designed my CD cover, and I didn't have a CD. I fictitiously made up the names of the songs. I had one song. I'd written one song. And I found a picture of myself that I'd taken on holidays, and I stuck it on the front, and I created this mock-up. I used a color printer, and I made this CD, and I put it on my office computer, and I looked at it, and believe it or not, when I initiated the Advertise to Yourself campaign on creating my own CD, within 4 weeks, I had a full completed record. And what's interesting about that is I was in the studio, and I was talking to the engineer, and he said, you know, this sounds an awful lot like the Guess Who. And he said, well, that's just the nature of my voice. I said, you know, I played a gig with a band called Bachman Turner Overdrive, and after I finished doing that gig, I'd asked the guitar player, who was Randy Bachman, if he would ever play guitar if I ever did a CD or a record. And he said, sure. So I ran the same mini campaign to try and track down this guitar player and get him to play on my record. And that's an interesting story, and it may be too long for this conversation. But
we're going to have you back. I can tell now this is we're going to have you back. This is too fascinating to stop.
So anyways, I got Randy Bachman to come and play on my record, and he played two songs, and I was just thrilled. He was one of my heroes growing up, and I'd always wanted to sing with the Guess Who in some capacity. They were my favorite band, and I used to sing along with all their tapes and records. I'm almost embarrassed to say that, but I was thrilled that day that I'd managed to get him to play on my new CD. Well, a couple days later, I got a call, and it was from Randy Bachman, and he said, you know, I have a gig that I'm doing across the country in Toronto, Ontario. He says, I don't have a band together right now. He said, would you like to come and go on this TV show with me? And I said, well, I don't know any, I don't know what song.
You hesitated?
He said, well, we're doing a new song, and all you have to do is lip sync because it's on television. He said, you can just listen to it on the plane, on the CD player, and then we'll do a quick run-through in dress rehearsal. And I had told my wife already that I wasn't going to play any bars, I wasn't going to tour anymore. And so I said, you know, Randy Bachman asked me to fly to Toronto with him and be in his band on TV. And she goes, well, that sounds exciting. I said, and he said he's going to pay me. And I told her, and she went, go, go. And that was 18 or 19 years ago. And so that started a relationship where I actually started to play in his band for close to two decades. And there's a lot of stories that go with that. But I think one of the key takeaways was I had been able to engineer my belief system to a point where I had very little fear in some areas, and especially picking up the phone and tracking him down and using some of the methods to create this CD, the same one that I used to quit smoking, the same one that I would eventually go on to use to earn more money, to lose weight, to do all the things that we need to do in our lives to keep ourselves motivated. And so I was enjoying the byproducts of this system. And one of the things for me, I'm a visual and a creative person, and reading a lot of books is one thing, listening to audios is another, watching videos is different, but I always have this visual part about me where I need to see things in almost in pictures and in images and in visions, but then I also need some concrete stuff to kind of back it up, and maybe that's just my creative nature, but I like to understand the whole package and visualize the outcome and then work backwards. I remember reading a book somewhere, I'm not sure the author, but they would say, always see the end in mind. And if you could do that, work backwards. And I was really astonished in my creative business how few people can actually visualize the future. Yeah. And
well, actually, that's how I build websites. I can literally see them in my head. I know what the navigation does. I know how everything works, and then I build it. But it's already built in my head before I start.
That's fantastic. So this type of a program is perfect for the way you think. And for others that have a little more difficulty in getting to the visualization stage, I kind of work through the process of these little mini campaigns, which kind of build the self-esteem, and they build your self-confidence. They give you this endorphin and this reward to actually show you that these little wins can actually really strengthen these brain synapses that we have, and I could talk more about that, but that's more scientific.
Well, we may have to get into that because I do understand what you're talking about. I have a very strong creative streak myself, which truthfully I didn't know for many, many years, and once I discovered it, I was entranced. But I think a lot of people probably do need to, you know, at least get a brief overview of just how it does work, because it plays into how, you know, how do you understand these things? You can't hit a target you can't see, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, scientific research right now, and this, I wrote the book way before some of this research came in, so I've kind of been upgrading the book a little bit to include some of the scientific studies. Now, these aren't random studies. These are very, very solidified technological studies. Actually, one of my my very close friends is a brain scientist. He runs with my sister. He's a wonderful man. He writes the textbooks for the PhDs. He's kind of that smart. And one of the things that they have now is they have electronic imaging where they can actually take photographs of the brain and they can see what's happening. They can understand a lot of the technology behind how we think and how we process things. There was a wonderful interview on television a couple of days ago on the woman who had a stroke. Her book, I think, is called My Stroke of Insight. And she was a brain scientist from Harvard, very highly recognized brain scientist. And one day she got a stroke. And she recognized in one side of her brain that this was actually happening. And she began to document and realize what was happening. And so she went into this, I haven't read the entire book, but I'll paraphrase from what I saw on the documentary. She basically, one side of her brain was bleeding, and she was beginning to lose her sense of touch, her ability to read, her ability to, she couldn't even dial 911. And it took her about 8 to 10 years of rehabilitation to come back and learn how to talk all over again, learn how to do all these things. She had a very severe stroke, but she came back from it. And what she came back with was some fascinating insight as a brain scientist of understanding how our thoughts and how our brain actually shapes our reality. And I don't want to get too metaphysical. I know people have heard a lot about the law of attraction. They've heard a lot about sort of meditation and how the mind works in sort of ways. And I'm not going to go into that spiritual side of it because it's kind of irrelevant for the campaigns I'm talking about. However, the sixth sense is a part that we need to talk about. But the brain science, there's another wonderful book called The Biology of Belief by Dr. Bruce Lipton, who's a cellular biologist. And all of this scientific data has come back to reinforce the simple fact that thoughts are real, that we can create, and that what our eyes can see, we're actually processing through our five senses, the information that comes into our biological computer, our bodies, is being recorded. Everything is being recorded. And it's going into our subconscious. And our subconscious basically makes this holding tank of everything that we've ever seen, done, or thought. And then it's our conscious mind that has to go through the painstaking process of how to access this. And so, is this getting too deep for you?
No, not at all. You and I were talking about this yesterday, so I'm fascinated.
So every single experience that you have through your senses of sight and taste, hearing, touch, and smell is recorded in memory. It's actually recorded in your brain tissue. And so when you experience similar events over and over, your brain records it as a pattern. And in the book, I call them brain cables. When you look at the images in the brain, you see smaller strands and you see thicker ones. They look like cables or big branches. And I said, what are those? And they said, those are habits. I went, what?
The thicker ones are habits, yes?
Yeah.
Right.
And so when you experience some event, your brain automatically, instantly searches your recorded memories. And within milliseconds, it replays some of these patterns subconsciously. And that's why you almost always feel and act the same way in similar situations. See, these mental patterns are foundations of all our habits, our personality traits.
Right.
Mental patterns make us predictable. And
so basically, by doing these things repeatedly over and over again, even though logically and rationally you know they're not good for you, say smoking or driving with your foot stuck in the accelerator or just, you know, things that you do habitually and continually that you know they're just not good, they're not smart, they're not wise. So basically, if I'm understanding correctly, you're creating almost a muscle memory by just doing the same thing over and over again.
That's correct. You are. And, you know, your subconscious works in a very interesting way. I mean, if someone were to throw a rock or a baseball at you, you would immediately react. That's, you know, your subconscious will go into protectionism state and try to protect yourself. And in many ways, the subconscious is is just carrying out sort of commands that you learned as a child. And that whole childhood programming is something that I begin the actual book about, getting people to wake up. That's step number one, because we have been programmed, and we've been programmed by the media, we've been programmed by our parents, we've been programmed by their grandparents, and we've been programmed by our environment. All of these programs that we've installed in our biological computer, and I kind of like that analogy because most people have computers now. When I started the book, not many people were using computers, but now it's kind of easy to think of your mind as a hard drive, and sometimes we have to download and defrag our own hard drive. Sometimes we have to uninstall bad habits. We need to reinstall good habits. And I think that technology and science has come so far to give us an understanding now that what we need to do in order to accomplish the things that we want in our lives is we need to recognize the fact that we are kind of this living biological computer, that we are running programs on a regular basis, and that we do have the conscious ability to reprogram ourselves and get rid of some of the wrong programming that has been really burned into our subconscious, and continue to run some of these bad habits and some of these unconscious programs right down, as Bruce Lipton says, at the cellular level. And so anybody that's listening out there, you know, there's some very hard research facts and science behind this. And so I'm not a scientist, and I'm not going to pretend to be one. And I just will take that as, okay, that verifies the system. So what I'm doing is not kind of a hokey idea. This actually works. And so what I've been able to do now is to take the clarify the things that I really want in my life and put emotion to them. Because one of the things that creates these brain cables and in your subconscious, if you think of it like a filing cabinet, the ones that are most important, that are closest to the front, that you can access all the times, are the ones that have strong emotion. So if you think back in your life, if you've had a tragic incident in your life, or if you had the happiest moment, maybe it was your marriage, maybe it was your wedding day, whatever it may be, those memories are closer to the surface. Why? Well, because they were created with maximum amount of emotion. And so emotion is one of the ways of bringing our subconscious programs to the surface and closer to where we can run them on a regular basis. So I don't want to get too detailed about this, but what I do want to share with you is that it is possible to create a vision for a great life. And when I say create your ideal life, I'm serious. I'm not talking about a metaphysical sitting in a dark room and wishing or trying to manifest things out of thin air. This is a designed, planned sequence of running these mini campaigns in a specific order in order to achieve these things one at a time. Did you want to talk about goal setting at all?
I do, and you just actually said something that I was getting ready to jump in and ask you about it. And you said one at a time, because I'm going back again earlier in the conversation where you said, you know, people have these fairly chaotic vision boards, and I'm with you. That doesn't work for me either. When I wanted a new car, I stuck up a picture of a Mercedes SUV, and within 3 months it was in my driveway. But I didn't clutter my mind with a lot of other stuff. Maybe that just works for me. But
you did it right.
I did. I must have, because I've got the car.
Three cars that way.
Yeah, you know, I wanted it. I knew what color I wanted. I knew, you know, what interior I wanted, and there it is. I mean, it appeared, and I brought it home. But here's the thing. My question is, and I think you've already answered it, a lot of people will say, oh, gosh, you know, I can do this. I mean, I can do the steps. You just tell me what to do, how to do it, but I want it all. And I'm afraid that people might say, well, I need a house, I need a car, I need a new job, and you know what? I think I need a new wardrobe, so I'm just going to concentrate on all of it. It's not the right thing to do, is it?
The problem with that thinking is that your subconscious knows that's not true.
Right. So your subconscious just goes, na 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 na, and that's the end of that.
Your subconscious really doesn't make decisions. You make decisions. But you have belief systems which are running in the background that will tell your mind that you can't do that. There's no way. You haven't been able to do it before. What makes you think you can do it again?
Right.
You have this negative voice, this negative programming that will negate what it is that you're thinking about. And so that is fact, and everyone knows it, and sometimes they're just afraid to admit the fact. As much as you can basically wish and dream for things, there's a part of you that's going to tell you that either you don't deserve it, you're not valuable enough to have it. There's a lot of belief systems. You know, in a lot of the bodybuilder training and whatnot that you read, they talk about a mindset, and some of the entrepreneurs that talk about the millionaire mindset, or these mindsets are what we're talking about. These are the mini campaigns that you're running. I'm not talking about running a campaign just to get something materialistic. It's much deeper than that. It's to reconstruct the belief system that will accept that and that will give you motivation to create the next set of patterns that reinforce that. You know, they talk about the Miracle Mile when Roger Bannister, in that he, nobody thought that the mile could be run in, what was it, 4 minutes? I forget. But,
yeah, it's a 3 or 4 minute mile, yeah.
Yeah. People didn't believe that that could happen and until he did it. And then suddenly everyone's belief system switched. Oh, that can be done.
Right.
And, you know, there could never be a black president. Oh, wait a minute, that can be done. You know, the list goes on. It's our minds. This is the constant struggle that we have in life is not with the issues around us. It's not with our environment. It's not with our surrounding. It's with our thinking. It's with our minds. And so what's happened is that the media has been programming and brainwashing people for decades. And they will tell you that you're too fat, you're too old, you're too bald, and then they'll try and sell you something to fix what they say is your problem.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really have a problem. The problem is that you spend too much time consuming this media that is, I was there. I was programming people's minds. We would sit in boardroom tables for hours on end. How can we influence people to take action and do this? That's the key, is they are doing it every day, day in and day out. How many people have an ab roller or a Thighmaster in their closet?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many people go and eat at McDonald's because they've been brainwashed to?
Right.
It's advertising. Which product are you going to buy over another one? Oh, I saw it on TV. It must be better. You know, we are spin doctors. I've been doing this for years, and I got tired of it. I left the newspaper and decided I wanted a better life. I didn't want to commute every day. I wanted to spend time with my family. And we were talking about the definition of success or what is a good life. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I fly around in Lear jets and have billion-dollar companies and all that sort of stuff. That's all material stuff that is a fantasy world. Most of the billionaires that I've met are miserable, and I've met quite a few. A lot of the big-time rock stars are miserable. People that are in
the
public eye all the time, and that's a whole other radio show, that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, you know, they did a question to about 1,000 retired executives that were all very successful in their work, and they asked them, you know, what is your vision for a good life? And they came back with these points. Number one, you're living in a place where you feel you truly belong. Number two, you're with people you love and your relationships are strong and working. Number three, you're doing the work you were meant to do and you're using your talents. You're using your talents on something you believe in and you're in an environment that fits who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, you're doing all of that with intent and on purpose. And that to me, I mean, that's kind of my definition of success, is to be able to do what I want, when I want, with the people that I love, use my God-given creative talents and my gifts to do things that create value for others and to contribute in some way. And I think that's my definition of success. Yours may be different, and some of the listeners may be different.
I'm with you on that.
But I think that some of the systems that are available now are phenomenal, but I just found one that worked for me. And gradually, we just increase our self-esteem, we increase our self-confidence, we run these mini campaigns. And I just wanted to go back to the goal setting, because one of my mentors, and he actually wrote the foreword in my book, is a fellow named Steve Chandler. He's the author of 101 Ways to Motivate Yourself. And I'll give you a little history here real quick. Can I insert this?
Yes, please. I actually want to talk about your book. I'm reading it right now. It's not published yet. When will it be published?
Here's here. Let me just finish this train of thought.
Okay.
I do a lot of public speaking on advertising, or I did when I was back at the newspaper, and people would ask me to give an overview on Advertising 101. So there was a new magazine startup happening in this city, and the owner and publisher asked me if I would speak to their sales reps. So I said, sure. And usually I can wing this. I'm pretty good at winging. And they asked me to do Advertising 101, and about half an hour later, he phoned me back, and he said, oh, and by the way, can you motivate them and give them a motivational talk at the same time? And I said, oh, okay, that's a little different spin on it. And so I was trying to find a way to sort of put motivation and advertising together. So I went to the library, and I got a whole bunch of books, and Think and Grow Rich, and all of the different self-help and motivational books that are out there. And one of the books that I picked up was called 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself by Steve Chandler. And number 51, you wouldn't believe what it said. It said, advertise to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo.
There
the
we
light
go.
Went on.
Yep.
I thought, that's it. That's the talk that I'm going to give. So this was back when I was still just at the newspaper. And so that's where this all began, is in terms of where the title came from. The system I had been kind of working on, I didn't really have a name for it. I wasn't trying to make a system. I was just trying to get ahead and to achieve some goals and to improve myself. And so I took this title, Advertise to Yourself, and I gave the talk. Well, it was very successful. They loved it. The next thing you know, I got to ask to do it again and again at a few different places. So I put this PowerPoint together, and I put this whole sort of process together, and pretty soon I had this system. But I'd like to thank Steve Chandler for that, and his number 51 of How to Motivate Yourself. And so getting back to the book that I read on, or at the time that I spent with Steve Chandler, we talked about goals, and he divided them so beautifully, that so simply, it's very profound. He said what we need to have are outcome goals, and those are the big goals that we don't believe that we can achieve. These are the big dreams. These are the fantasy goals. He calls those outcome goals. And then, like my mini campaigns, he has another set of goals that he calls process goals. And process goals are these small little wins that we have along the way where we can actually start to build our confidence and our self-esteem by documenting these process goals and living in the moment. And he's a very big believer about living right now in this moment, not worrying about the future and not worrying about the past, but just living today. And when we take these process goals simply, it might just be as easy as you said, you know, cleaning up the backyard or doing some laundry. It's a little more than a to-do list, mind you, but these little process goals will eventually lead you to your big outcome goals. And it's, once again, like you said, building your websites, working
mm-hmm.
backwards.
Well, if you can see it, you can. It's a target you can aim at.
Mm-hmm.
I've never understood not having a target. It doesn't work in my mind. Maybe I'm too logical or too rational or too creative. And believe it or not, they all do work together. But it makes absolutely no sense to me to just say, well, I'm going to do this, you know, amorphous thing today, but not know what it is that I'm actually heading towards.
That's right. He who aims at nothing hits it.
That's right.
I always like that quote.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that too. My other favorite one is, I think it was Jerry Reed. He said, "He who expecteth nothing ain't going to be deceived." I love that one. It's one of my all-time favorites, and you have to say it in this, you know, real country voice. Oh,
I say spoken like a true Southerner.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's absolutely one of my top favorites. But I know that this, your book and your program, have they've grown and grown and grown, because as you learn new things, you're constantly adding to it. So it's you know, the way I see your program, it's a constantly evolving concept, you know, with a lot of different tools. Do you want to speak to that today?
Well, it's wonderful because we have so much technology now that can absolutely fast-track us compared to what we had a few years ago. I mean, we have iPods and video iPods, and we have little digital recorders we can talk into. We have iPhones and Blackberries. We have
we have pins that we can carry around and record things with, the LiveScribe. It's insane.
It's amazing. And I'll just give you a little clear example. In the Advertise to Yourself program, I use the acronym PAVE Your Way to Success. And PAVE stands for Print, Audio, Video, and Execution/Evaluation. And one of the things that I found was critical in putting any of these campaigns together was an assault on all five senses, and six senses as well, but I won't get into the metaphysical at the moment. But when you look at the tools that we have available, our screensaver, our computer, our email, our voicemail, some of those gadgets that I was talking about, we can really engineer messages and programs, and I call them our personal ad campaigns. And I do this. I just did this at the gym. I have a little tiny dictaphone recorder, and I recorded a message to myself that I played before my workout. And it sounds kind of silly, but it really works for me. I basically talk to myself and say, "Hey, Colin, I really believe in you. I know you're going to work out right now. I want you to make every rep count. You're only going to be there for 40 minutes. And so while you're there," and so I go on and I talk to myself like I was motivating another person. I talk to myself.
So, Colin, would this be a form of self-hypnosis?
I don't know. I don't really know anything about hypnosis. I'm not one.
I don't either. But it sounds like something that I've read about recently.
You can, you know, maybe think of it in those terms, but I like to think more along the lines of, you know, if I was to coach someone else, if I was to inspire and motivate someone else, what would I say to encourage them and to motivate them?
Okay.
And when your subconscious hears your own voice, you know, some of these meditational tapes and, hologramic stuff and all this, whatever you listen to with some lady's voice on it, or these hypno tapes, maybe they work for some people and maybe they don't, I don't know. The process, to me, needs to be much more personal. And it's I've done some studies on affirmations, and there's a wonderful fellow that I met who's done some amazing things, and his case studies are so incredible. I actually have interviewed him, and I have a couple of videos that I did with him that I haven't posted anywhere yet, but as the membership kind of opens up, I'm going to put his videos in there. He's an older fellow, and he has done some remarkable things. And it's one of the things that he was talking about to me was affirmations, and how when we say some of these affirmations, "I will, you know, I earn $1 million, all
right,
these types of things, our subconsciously immediately puts the BS factor in play and say,
I was going to say, they must be instantly rejected. I mean, I rejected it when I heard you say it.
Yeah, you instantly reject it. And so, but there are ways, and he gave a really unique outline of actually the proper way of speaking affirmations and the way that your subconscious will actually absorb it and begin to believe it. And it's based on these things that I've been talking about over this past interview. And so just like the analogy of me going to the gym and using this, I used some of the same techniques and then motivated myself in this way. And it made a huge difference. I mean, subconsciously I'm there at the gym, but my mind is hearing my own voice saying, you know, make every rep count. I mean, who am I impressing? I don't have a personal trainer with me.
But you are your personal trainer.
Yeah, there's something about the way that you communicate with yourself, the way that you visualize
right.
your thoughts, the way that you understand that thoughts can be creative, that thoughts are things, that the better we are in control of our thought processes and the way that we communicate, not only with others, but with ourselves. I mean, if you hear what people say in their minds or even out loud, it's horrendous. People are beating themselves up all the time.
Believe me, I know that negative self-chatter is your absolute worst enemy, no question about it.
Well, I'm no good at that. I can't draw. You know, I don't know how to dance. You know, if you go to a classroom of grade ones or kindergarten students and say to them, how many people know how to draw? They'll all put their hand up. How many people know how to dance? They'll all stand up and dance. They have no fear. So what happened to those little kids? Well, they were programmed. Every one of them was programmed, just like we all have been. And, you know, this isn't about beating up the media or the advertisers or your parents or blaming. That's all been done. Everyone's been programmed in a certain way. It's time for us, and chapter one of the book is wake up. You know, let's look at the facts here. Let's look at the science. Let's look at the biology and realize that, okay, I have been programmed. And I probably have some good programs and some lousy ones. So if I want to re-engineer my life, if I want to create my ideal life, where do we start? Well, we start like we do with any other ad campaign. And we don't have time here to go through the exact sequence and step-by-step methods. But if you do those, it's a very simple procedure. And, you know, it requires action. Everything does. But the results are rewarding. And, you know, like I said, we take those rewards and honor them.
Well, Colin, I would think that if somebody were to do this, and we all need to, truthfully, that the first step that they would do, the first step I would do, would be to address that negative chatter. I mean, as much as I'm aware of it, I still do it. And then I'll instantly, you know, I'll be walking along and stub my toe and I go, oh, that was stupid. And then I instantly realize it wasn't stupid, it just happened. And then I have to overcome that negative little, you know, chat that I had with myself. So for me, it's a live conversation. I'm like, no, Denise, it wasn't stupid. It was a little clumsy, but that's all it was.
Well, you see,
so that takes time. And then I get annoyed.
That's step one. You've woken up. You know,
well, I would think that anybody who's going to do this needs to start. I guess I'm asking, do they need to start by addressing that negative self-chatter so they can open up?
Well, that's step one, is to wake up. And
wake up.
Byron Katie always says, ask yourself when you have those thoughts, is it true?
Oh,
do you absolutely know that it's true? Because our minds like to deceive us. They really do. And we can talk ourselves in and out of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so this negative self-chatter that you're talking about needs to be addressed from our conscious point of view to understand that, yes, this is going to happen. We do have this voice. And where does it come from? It's running on these subconscious beliefs that we've been programmed with. So the best way to do that is to get in under the hood and start to change these beliefs. And a lot of that chatter will disappear. And as you are more consciously aware of saying, you know, oh, I can't do that. Oh, never say can't. Or crying is lying, these little rhymes that you say over and over to yourself. This is a form of advertising to yourself. When you say negative thoughts, no, I'm no good at that. I can't do that. You know, I'm too fat, or I won't make
it. You believe it, don't you?
You will believe it. Your subconscious will believe it. It doesn't care. Your subconscious doesn't care one way or the other. It's not a decision maker. It's a recorder. It is a processor that takes all of this information. And if you look at the scans of the brain, you're building cables. You're building those habits. You're building those cables in your mind, those stronger synapses. And when you attach emotion with it, it's getting even worse. So anger is another one. You build anger.
Yeah.
You grow it yourself.
I have a silly question. if you're, I'm looking at the cable, so I can vision this thing in my mind. So right now I'm digging around in my head and I'm looking at those really thick cables that are bad habits. If I replace it, not if, when, that's another, you're talking about phrases. I never say if, I always say when, and I never say can't. I'll say won't, but I never say can't. But right now I'm digging around in my head and I'm looking at some of those remaining bad habits or bad thought processes or, you know, negative self-chatter that I've built up over the years. Here's my goofy question. As I'm replacing those bad ones, those thick cables, with better ones, do those thick cables kind of diminish and the other cables increase in size to take their place?
Well, they're continually growing at this amazing rate. And your cells, your body changes. I mean, every cell in your body, your whole physical structure, I think every 10 years goes through a complete, I don't know that you could Google that to find out. But in fact, when you're attaching emotion to these thoughts, those are the ones that are given priority. And if there's no emotion attached to those other ones, they will diminish. They will be replaced with new ones. However,
because I'm looking at some right now that got to go.
Everything is still recorded. It's still there. But it's how you choose to process them and how you choose to access those. Bill Bartman calls them the files in your filing cabinet that are closer to the front.
So I can just preempt the bad ones. I can just, you know, build kind of a firewall between the old ones and the new ones.
That's absolutely a great way to look at it. I mean, I think of my smoking habit. I don't smoke anymore. I haven't for years. I don't even think about it. So that cable, it must have either diminished or...
It's hidden in a closet somewhere.
It's gone so deep and so far that it has no emotional impact to it.
See, so, and that's absolutely brilliant. I have a question in the chat room. When we were talking about talking to yourself and recording those encouraging messages, she says you're very in tune with yourself. Do you meditate?
Well, I tried the meditation thing, and, you know, I'd end up sort of kind of falling asleep.
I can't do it either. I have tried. I've tried.
I would try to meditate for a while, and I would kind of follow some of these directions and wake up with a little piece of drool down my chest.
I'm so glad I'm not alone. My brain won't shut down enough for me to do it.
The phone would ring. But I think meditation, to me, has taken on a different meaning. And so meditation to me is in prayer. That's something different. And that's something that I engage in quite regularly. And also in some of my physical activities, I tried learning a form of Tai Chi called Qigong, which I absolutely love. And I kind of don't do it at home because my kids are around all the time, but when I'm traveling in the hotel room, it's a wonderful time. I have a DVD of it, and that's a very meditative, flowing movement which allows you to breathe deeply. And I think the real word for meditation for me is to breathe deep and to try and really get in tune with my spirituality. And that's not really part of what we're talking here, so to answer
Okay. Well, I'm with you on that. I have tried traditional meditation. I've had people who were very, very good at it try to teach me. But what I have taken away from meditation is that, honestly, it's more of a, you know, kind of what you're saying about advertise to yourself. My form of meditation is quite honestly to sit down, take a very deep breath, take several deep breaths, and work out my day. Picture my day. What am I going to do? How am I going to segment and tend? How am I going to get these things done? And that, I know that's not really meditation, but it does work for me because it allows me to visualize my goals and targets and head straight for them.
Well, in the first chapter of the workbook, the very first thing that I get people to do is create a blank page. No ad in any newspaper or on TV or anything can start where there's something else exists. So we need to start with a blank page. And I have two exercises. Number one is We write down everything that we can possibly think of, the longest to-do list that you've ever written in your life. And then for creation, I created this strategy back at the newspaper called 21 Ideas, and I have this wonderful little PDF that I use. And some of these tools I'll have available in the membership area in a very short time.
We're about to lose people. Can you tell people where to go for that?
Oh, it's advertisetoyourself.com.
Okay.
And I'll put you on my email list, and when the membership is open, I'll make sure everyone gets a link. And then once we have our blank page, we need to create a vision. I was recording in the studio with John Bon Jovi, and they were doing their Slippery When Wet record. And John and I were sitting in the front room, and I said to him, I said, you know, John, what are you going to do when this album is done? And he said, he looked at me fiercely in the eye, and he said, Colin, we are going to be the number one rock band in America. I kind of chuckled. You know, they were just kind of a regular top 40 band from New Jersey. They'd had one smattering of airplay with She's a Little Runaway on the radio. But really, they looked like any other big hair that had been in our studio for the last year. And so I remembered that. And a year later, I got a call from Richie Zambuero and asked to go out to the airport to pick them up. And so I went out and met them at the airport here in Vancouver. Gave them a ride back to the... I rode back with them on this the tour bus we'd rented to pick them up. And John walks on, and the first thing he does is he throws a Rolling Stone at me in my lap. And I look at it, and it says, Bon Jovi, number one rock band in America.
Oh.
And I
but they believed it.
He believed it with his...
Yeah.
Every part of his being. And, you know, he had that vision before there was any action involved. He had that vision, and, you know, I like to use that as a starting point in this whole program because that's the outcome goal, right?
Right.
So what were the process goals? The process goals were in the studio recording, we're going to the interviews, we're going on tour, playing in these little clubs, playing in bigger places. The process, I mean... We always say that life is the journey, right? And it's wonderful to see his outcome goal even bigger now than it was then. You think of Steve Jobs when he first created Apple Computer. Who would have thought that it would be not only a computer business, but one of the largest record labels in the world with iTunes, the iPod? It's an amazing thing. The outcome goal can far exceed your imagination and your beliefs. But when we start to have, I mean, there was the very first iPod. I have one. There was Mac Plus that sat on the newsroom table. I mean, it was all a process, and our lives are like that. And so whether it's earning more money, whether it's enriching our relationships, our relationships with our spouses or with our kids or our friends, whether it's used to lose weight or to get healthy or to combat even disease, the process is always the same. These campaigns may sound a little bit hokey to people, and it may sound like work, but hey, you know what? It is work. And
life is work.
A small percentage of people that actually go through and actually do what it takes that have the outcomes to prove it. And, I just want to encourage everyone that's listening and listening in the future that you have the innate ability to be able to achieve almost anything that you desire. And if you can specifically clarify your vision and then use these tools and techniques to really motivate yourself and to really bring these things into existence in a way that's tangible and the way advertisers and media does it. I mean, you don't see media people out there sitting around meditating, and I'm not knocking that. Please don't, you know, get upset with me for saying that. I'm just more of a realistic, hands-on person that sees the results that the media and advertisers are able to do to the masses through their persuasive motivations, and it works.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely does. That's why people buy a lot of junk they should never have.
If it works for them day in and day out, then it will work for you on a small level or on a large level. I mean, I couldn't believe it when I made, you know, $90,000 in 48 hours on the Internet. It was like...
We didn't even talk about that.
It was just incredible. Once I learned how to do it, I went, why? Why doesn't everyone do this? This is amazing.
We really need to get you back for another session, if you don't mind. I would love to have you back.
Oh, I'd love to be back. I've got so many stories I'd like to share.
I know.
We didn't even talk about some of the celebrity stories because those
We didn't, and we didn't get to talk about your Israel trip either, which I found fascinating. What I do want to do here, though, is, I mean, obviously we're going to get you back. You may have to come back two or three times. There's just so much that you have to share, but I know that you're in the process of building this program. The program is built. It's just a delivery vehicle. It's not built yet. Do you have any idea when people can really kind of get plugged in with you?
Well, I'd really like to have this open for people at the beginning of September. I know it's back to school time, but it's also when people refocus. They're back from summer holidays. They seem to have a natural desire to want to get busy and to get back into work mode and to achieving things. And so,
and they're getting ready for the holidays, too. There's something about the upcoming holidays that just gets people excited and interested and, you know, wanting to better themselves. Maybe it's family coming in. Maybe it's traveling. But I've noticed that myself. September is just a really tremendous month for people to kind of perk up and go, well, heat of the summer's over. I'm ready to do something nice for myself.
Yeah, and it's never too late, and, you know, you don't really need a whole lot of programs to get started. However, it makes it much, much simpler when you have, I have some PDF worksheets and some audios and some videos and some things that can really help people fast-track this and run these mini campaigns to advertise to themselves. And once they learn how to do it, I mean, you can, transition that into all areas of your life. And I love to see the successes of that people have, and our beliefs are something that are really, really difficult to get our heads around changing. But once we've learned how to do it, and we've got some success and gained some confidence, and we've taken action and been persistent, we get results. There's no question.
Absolutely. Yeah, my grandmother, my grandmother would tell me when I was a very young child. And you never listen to the wisdom of your elders, you know, when you're young and when you're a teenager, and you just think, oh, yeah, I've heard her say that before, so what? She would say, and it stuck in my mind for many, many years, and it's so true, you are what you eat and you are what you think. It was so simple that it just didn't make sense to me. And if she were still alive, I would be apologizing all over the place. Because it was correct. She was absolutely right. You are what you eat and you are what you think.
And I think science is starting to prove that, and or not think, they have proven that. Sometimes that Sunday school nursery rhyme comes into my mind, be careful little eyes what you see, be careful little ears what you hear. Did you ever hear that one?
Oh, yeah.
But it's true. We're taking in a lot of information these days, and don't get me started on that thread, because when I start to talk about data smog and about...
Data smog?
Yeah.
We're going to have a phone conversation about that. I haven't even heard that one.
And information overload. And,
that one I've heard.
And how we can go on a data diet.
I'm on a news diet. I cut them out entirely.
Well, that's in the Advertise to Yourself book. That's one of the first challenges, is to have people actually turn off their news and their media, because... Mm-hmm. You know, if you can imagine waking up in the morning to the news and this, the news is engineered. And I used to be in the newsroom every morning, and we would pick the news stories. And the criteria for picking the news stories is whatever would be the most sensational headline we could find, because news sells papers, and papers that are sold get larger advertising revenue.
Right.
So the news in a newspaper or on a television show or whatever is really propped up by the advertising that's behind it. No show will run or air without advertising support unless it's a public broadcasting system. We all know that. We just sometimes we're in denial about it.
Yeah, I think more and more people are coming to that conclusion. They know it, but it never really bothered them. Now they're saying, you know what, I'm not listening to this trash. I'm just not going to listen.
We would get a blank paper in the morning, and it would have all the ads already placed on it. And then our job was to fill in the holes with some kind of news.
Oh, my goodness. Now, that's sad.
If there's no
ads, I did not know that.
If there's no ads, there's no page.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's apart from maybe one or two editorial positions, but I don't want to get into detail. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, the news and the media that you watch is really designed and overhyped, and it wants to put you in an emotional state of fear, and it wants you to be curious. It wants you to be on the edge of your seat because you'll stay poised to listen to the advertisements that come after it. So
that's just not healthy. That's not healthy at all.
And it's not healthy. And if you can start to design, I mean, one of the in the audio portion of the Advertise to Yourself program, we create our own iPod lists, and we find positive music. And I got to tell you this really quick story. I know we're short on time, but my daughter's an elite soccer player, and I attribute one of the reasons that she is one of the top players in our entire country is from some of the little messages that I've posted and the way I've advertised to build her self-esteem and confidence. And that's a whole other story. I mean, that's a new book, Advertise to Your Kids. and we could do a whole show on that. But
I would love to, actually.
I did a test, and the test was this. The first one was we were driving. We had about a 40-minute drive to the field, and she would put on one of these beat stations, and it plays all kinds of rap music and, you know, techno and disco. And she likes that music. That's what all the kids are listening to these days. But the lyrics were just negative.
And see, I find that rap and music are two words that should not be together. It's an oxymoron.
Just awful, awful stuff. I mean, it was making me feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls in the back were arguing. They were arguing, and it was a very unhappy ride to the field. And when she got there, she's a good player. She played okay, but she didn't play great. So I did an experiment. I went and I gathered some music that she likes, but I my criteria was it had to be positive music, it had to have good uplifting lyrics, and then I reached back into her past, and I pulled out a few songs that they used to sing when they were younger. I think there was like S Club 7 and the Spice Girls, a couple of those, and I peppered them in on this CD with some of the new popular music, Miley Cyrus's The Climb and a few other ones that they had listened to. And then I put on, you know, one of Dad's old favorites, Eye of the Tiger.
I love that one.
I slipped this into the CD player the next time we went to the field. Well, these kids were singing along with the songs that they knew, and smiles were on their faces.
Happier times. They were digging back into those happier feelings, weren't they?
And just the level of the songs and the words and the selection of material, they beat the team. I think it was 7-0. They had one of the best games they've ever had. And I looked at my wife and I said, you know, I really think that this different selection of music has made a huge difference. And so now I've made a couple of these CDs, and that's what they always listen to before they go to the games. And I believe it's made a huge difference. And once again, that's a form of advertising to yourself, in this case, advertising to your kids. But it's consciously selecting the materials that you choose to process in your mind on a regular basis. Are you moving closer to your goals, or are you moving further away from your goals? Is this edifying your spirit, or is this destroying your spirit? So I just really want to encourage you and everyone listening that the more that we can take sort of a conscious control of our biological computer, the closer it is that we can achieve almost anything. You know, your mom used to say you can achieve anything you put your mind to. Well, think of what that means. Your mind is so powerful. It has the power to create. It has the power to love. It has the power to harness all of these things in our physical world. And you can choose to either react or create. And I love the word creation, because if you change the words around, you can have the word reaction. So are we reacting to things, or are we creating things? Well, I like to choose the creation path. That's why my company's called Fast Creative. And I prefer to stay in a process of creation rather than a process of reaction.
Absolutely, that is brilliant. Well, Colin, I really need to get you back on here for, you know, some follow-up shows. Not one, I think it's going to take several. And if you would, you know, come back, I would be delighted to have you back as a guest.
Now, my music website, in case anybody wants to listen to some music, is colinweeb.com, and Weeb is spelled W-I-E-B-E, so that's I before E except after C. And
I'm putting that in the chat room now. I had put some links to some of your other websites, but I missed that one. Okay, well, listen, we will get you back on the show again today and tell people where I know where Fast Creative is, and I've sent people there too. But we're sending people right now to www.advertisetoyourself.com.
Yeah,
and this is going to be a site that is, it should launch. Well, it's there now, isn't it?
Yeah, there's supposed to be a video on the other side. I actually filmed that video, and half of it was spoiled.
Oh.
The zoom on the camera automatically zoomed in on my lapel, and that's all you see. I have a cameraman. He's a great guy, but he's on holidays right now. I use him in Fast Creative for a lot of client work. And him and this other gal is a Steadicam operator, and they usually do the video stuff for me. But I bought one of those new HD Canons, and so I set it up on a tripod, and I thought, I'm going to do this myself. I'm going to have some fun. So the first video I tried, my daughter, I just bought her a new MacBook with a little camera there. So I tried that out for the first video, and for the second one I tried this new Canon HD camera. But when we get back into the swing of things and people are back from holidays, you'll be able to get into the membership area and see all the cool stuff.
And, I know. There's a lot of good things going on over there.
You know, and really people ask me, why am I doing this? And because it's fun. I like doing fun things. I like talking with people like you. I like hanging out with cool people that are making a difference in the world. And I'm also doing it for my daughters. I have teenagers now. And by having something that's documented, all these tools and materials, is a place where they'll be able to go at some point in their life when they're actually interested. They can actually see, oh, Dad had a system for doing what he's doing, and I hope that'll rub off on them.
Oh, it's rubbing off now. They just don't know it.
Yeah, well, it's working. I mean, I think I'm so blessed to have two of the most perfect children in the world in terms of, you know, I say the word perfect, but, I mean, we haven't had any real big problems with them. I have an elite soccer player for one daughter who's 15, 17-year-old, a beautiful ballerina dancer. They're just wonderful human beings. They have great hearts, and I'm just so proud of them. We went and visited our sponsored child in Dominican Republic, and they've been able to see sort of the deep side of poverty, and they love making a difference in the world, and they're really working towards being young people with passion and purpose, and I'm just thrilled to see that and encourage it. And I mean, they're still teenagers, they still drive me nuts at times, but you know, I think as parents, as people of influence to our friends around us, the more that we do this kind of internal work, the more that we learn how to take control of this biological computer, our subconscious mind, and not trying to be the best at this or make millions of dollars and take over the world. I mean, maybe some people want to do that, but I like to go back to those simple points of, you know, do I like who I'm working with? Am I enjoying what I'm doing? Am I being creative on a regular basis? Am I hanging around with the people that I want to hang around with? And all of these things are choices that you have. And you know, your belief system probably is kicking in right now. Oh, I can't do that. I could never quit my job. Oh, I can. Well, I did.
Yeah, me too.
I made a choice. I just said, you know what? And if I had hung on 1 year later, I would have had a substantial buyout. But that's a whole other story. But
yeah, unlike you, I mean, when I left my final job, you know, I thought about it. I just couldn't stand it. Look, I was halfway to the stairs, and I was grinning. I mean, I'm halfway down the stairs and I'm skipping. By the time I hit the parking lot, I had rendered myself absolutely unemployable. I knew I would never go back into that situation. where I was working in an office for somebody else.
Well, you're doing wonderful things now, and you're just an amazing person. I'm so thankful that you invited me to talk with you today, because I value what you've shared with me over the last couple of years that we've known each other, and I just really enjoy talking to you, too. You've got a wonderful show, and I hope that the people listening have really supported you, and because I know how much value you bring to them. So thank you.
No, thank you, and right back at you. I mean, I think you're just a phenomenal inspiration for so many people. I love what you do. I love your music. And, you know, honestly, anybody who can take what you've done and just make it all work and take that creativity and that passion and build it into their life and their family, the way you talk about your children is just, I got a little teary-eyed. You know, it's just so beautiful. So thank you so much for being here, and I'm really very much looking forward to having you back as a guest.
Watch for the video, the song.
I will. Yeah, I'm going to go over there and look.
Trailer for that is theoriginalpromise.com, and you can see a trailer for the documentary. And the video, I just saw the final cut of it last week, and I'm really excited. We're going to be posting it up on colinweeb.com as soon as the final edit's complete. And I'd love to talk to you about my experience in Israel of filming the video on top of Masada, looking over the Dead Sea, and just what a phenomenal experience that was. But
yeah, absolutely, because I know you and I have talked about that before, but we didn't share it with the world. So very definitely people need to hear that story.
That's great, and I'd like to also show people how they can earn some extra money and really change where they're at in their life. I know we're in an economic downturn right now, and through my marketing company and the people that I've been associated with, I think that everyone has the opportunity and the ability. As a matter of fact, I'm working with a lady right now. We're probably going to do a television infomercial in the very near future, and this is one that I'm going to be proud of, because she's developed a small system using the internet where anybody can make at least at minimum guaranteed $500 a month. And my wife is doing it right now, and I've had to stay out of it. I'm not allowed to get involved and show her how to mouse click or anything. She's a complete newbie at it, and she's the test market. So is my 17-year-old daughter. So they're both working on this program, and it's going to be a really neat thing for people, just to, you know, to have that little extra chunk of change to add to the mortgage or a car payment.
Absolutely.
Or whatever it is. So I'd love to share that, and that's going to be part of the Advertise to Yourself program too. I've got Advertise to Yourself for Wealth Creation, Advertise to Yourself for Weight Loss. These are all little components of the membership as we go, because it's all stuff that I've been able to successfully do and seen other people successfully do, so you can do it too.
And see, there it is. I mean, you're able to speak to it. You're not selling something. You're able to actually say, look, I did this. You know, I have other people who have done this. It works. I'm not just selling you something because I'm an advertiser, so there's the beauty of that. I mean, you can actually prove that this does work.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, anyway, thank you, Colin, so much for being here. And you've given some really valuable information to our listeners and just, you know, a peek into your, you know, tremendous personality. I just love chatting with you. So thank you, everybody, for being here. And the show will be available for download in about an hour. So this is Denise Griffiths and Colin Arthur Weeb wishing you a wonderful weekend. And I will see you next week. Thank you all. Thank you, Colin.
Thanks, Denise. Bye, everyone.
Bye.